Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I just want to first start off by thanking Pastor Pavel and Haley and the leadership of Times Square Church for this opportunity to share what God has done in my life and just take the time to share that with y'all, and I hope that through that y'all can be encouraged. If I had a title to give to my testimony and the word that I'm going to speak today, it would be surrender. So as I'm going through this and I'm telling you the details of my story and how God worked in it, just remember the word surrender. Lord, I come to you and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives. I thank you for the testimony you've brought. And I thank you for the opportunity to share it with your people, God, in hopes to bring encouragement that what you did in my life, you can do in theirs. Lord, I ask that you would just help me to speak exactly what you want to say today, and that you will be glorified in it, that lives will be changed for your glory, and greater glory will be given to your name. And I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. So to start at the beginning, really growing up my whole life, from the earliest memories that I have, I wanted to be a wife and a mother. And I longed for that. And as I got older and as I grew, the desire to be a pastor's wife was birthed into my heart. And much of my childhood and teenagers were marked with that, the desire to have a family, to be a wife and a mother, and function in ministry one day with my husband. So fast forward to my early 20s, and that did come true. I became a pastor's wife, and we have two beautiful children, Gracelyn and Kentley. And not long after that, we were given the opportunity to pastor a church in Mississippi. So in 2017, we left our home in Louisiana, and we went to Mississippi to pastor a church. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. Lord, everything I've prayed for, everything that I've dreamed of in my life is sitting here in my lap. And we were so happy. We were excited to go and just go into the church and bring life. And all of a sudden, weeks into getting there, I started to get really sick. We weren't sure what it was at first. I had seen doctors, and they would just say, well, you're a young mother. You're tired. You're dehydrated. Go take a nap. Get some water. Hydrate yourself. This is normal and for mothers who have young children. But I knew something was wrong. And at first, we had no idea what it was because doctors couldn't give us an answer. But eventually, we found a doctor that tested me for several things, and we would later find out that I was dealing with chronic Lyme disease and brain stem compression. And this was devastating. In the beginning of just walking in ministry and going into what God had called us to, my whole life began to start crashing down on me, and what was handed to me felt like it was being grabbed out of my hands, and there was nothing I could do about it. My health continued to increasingly get worse. To the point where by the end of 2017, I was completely bound to a wheelchair. I had lost my ability to walk and had muscle paralysis from the hip down. And that was devastating. I continued to get worse in that time as we were pastoring. And so much so that I couldn't even care for myself, even if I would have had the ability to walk. I was so ill and so sick that I couldn't have gotten out of bed anyways. I couldn't care for myself or my husband. I couldn't be a wife. I couldn't be the mother that I longed to be. And that was heartbreaking. All my life I waited for this. And in a moment, it was all snatched away. My body would be in so much pain that there were times where didn't even want to move in bed, that I would just lay in bed and cry. And in that time, I started to experience a lot of anxiety and depression, something I had never dealt with in my life, the worst part of it, even more so than the illness, was just the despair and the confusion that this illness brought into my life. I was in such a dark place, and I was so overwhelmed. The season that I thought was supposed to bring the greatest joy in my life, the season that we were flourishing as a family and in motherhood and in ministry, became my greatest despair. I had waited my whole life for this, and yet I couldn't do any of it. I couldn't mother my children. I couldn't help my husband in ministry, and I couldn't even take care of our home. In fact, my husband was doing everything for me. I could do nothing for myself. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't clothe myself. And it was extremely devastating as a young mom and wife functioning in ministry.
I thought to myself, God, why are you doing this? Why is this a part of our story? What good can come through this? What good can come through me laying in my bed day after day, days turning to weeks and months? As my husband and my children go to church, we're trying to pastor church, and I'm here in bed sick, and I can do nothing. And it was devastating. We had sought other treatments for Lyme disease, and to that point, nothing had helped. No treatment I had done had helped. Doctors couldn't give us answers anymore. They didn't know what else to do or how to treat me. And then fast forward into 2019, and we finally found a doctor. The beginning of 2019, we found a doctor, and it gave us a glimmer of hope. But he was in Orlando, so we moved our family to Orlando for me to do 3 months of treatment. And the treatment that we thought was going to get me better, it had a great success rate. His success rate with treating chronic Lyme was about 95%. His patients got better. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my life back. This is great. I'm going to go do treatment, and in 3 months, I'm going to get better. And in 3 months, I did not get better. In 3 months, after all of the treatment, going through treatment every day, Monday through Friday for 3 months, I got worse. Not only was I sicker than I had ever been, but I had actually lost my ability to sit up. So the paralysis that was in my legs had moved up to my back, and my chest was completely in my lap, and I had zero strength to sit up on my own. And we left that doctor's office after doing all that treatment devastated. The doctor looked at us, and he couldn't explain it to us. This hadn't happened to any of his patients ever, and he had been treating since 2001, and he had no answers for us, and we had no answers but to step down from ministry and move back to Louisiana, which was even more devastating. God, you gave us all this. You gave us this family. You put us in ministry. And now I'm so sick, I'm stepping down. We're stepping down from that, and we're having to move back home to where we could have help. And so that Ross could get some help with me and the children. And that was probably one of the darkest times of my life. I remember just laying in bed or sitting in my wheelchair and just questioning God, like, do you see us? Do you see me? I know you've called me. I know that your word is true. I know that you are faithful and that you are good and that you are doing something in my life, but it doesn't feel like it. God, it feels like I'm forsaken. It feels like you don't see me. It feels like you don't care about me. And I know that's not true, but it feels like that in the moment, and I didn't like it. But what I didn't know is through all of that God was working a testimony. God was working in my life when I couldn't see him doing anything. And through all that, God began to meet me. He began to show me that I have a plan for you. He began to just reveal his grace and his love for me. He began to show me that he can be faithful to me and that I wasn't alone in my suffering and that this suffering wasn't for nothing, that he was going to do something with it. And there's a verse that so encouraged me, and that actually several people through the course of my illness spoke this word to me, but I really held on to it. It was really life in a time where I didn't feel life, where I felt there was only death in my life. And it is Psalms 118:17, and it says, "You shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord." And I truly held on to that. And those words did give me life to keep going on and trusting God. In that time, it felt as though he was telling me that through this, I can deliver you and I can bring you through it. But Sarah, it doesn't matter if you're sick, and it doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair, and it doesn't matter what circumstance life has given you. I can still use your life. That wheelchair doesn't define who you are. Your sickness isn't who you are. You are who I said I am. You are chosen, you are called, and you are loved, no matter what you're going through, and I will see you through. And that was so hard to believe sometimes, because things in the natural weren't changing. I was the sickest I've ever been, and there was no treatment plan to go forward. We had tried all the things, we'd spent all the money, and nothing had helped. And at this point, there were no other options for treatment. But I believed that, and I fully trusted in the Lord in the times where I didn't want to, in the times where I didn't want to open my Bible, in the times where it was hard to turn on worship music, in the time where it was truly a sacrifice to offer praise to God when I go to church on Sundays. And it was a true sacrifice that in that time God would meet me and he would speak to me and he would instill a joy and a faith in my heart that I would not be overcome by this illness and that he would give me the strength to face what I'm facing and walk through it. So that was the end of 2019, moving into 2020, and the Lord had kind of, nothing had changed in the natural, but the Lord had really just been dealing with our heart with transition, and we ended up finding out that that transition was Summit. So we came here in 2020, and it made absolutely no sense for us to come here. I was still the sickest I've ever been. Ross was going to be in class. I was going to be home with the kids, and we're going to move 20 hours away from our family. There would be no family here, and we would have no help. And the only people we knew were Pastor Nick and Christina at the time. And Lord, you want us to do what? To just pack up our family, our small kids that I can't take care of, can hardly take care of myself, and move? But we knew it was God. There were multiple times in that season where God just confirmed before we came that, no, this is where you're supposed to go. So we came, and in August 2020, we moved here and started our first semester, and it was hard. There were so many times I wanted to quit. There are so many times I wanted to pack up and just go back home, but I knew God had had us here, brought us here for a reason, and he began to speak to me even in that season, and I began to feel as though he was speaking to my heart that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, that wheelchair still doesn't define you, and I'm with you. In that time, I began to also feel that eventually I would feel in my spirit sometimes, it's just like, I won't be in this wheelchair one day. And that was crazy because I hadn't felt that in quite a while. By this time, I had been bound to a wheelchair for 3 years. And so getting out of that wheelchair just seemed impossible. I felt as though he's telling me when I am delivered from the wheelchair, that it will be like I was never there in the first place. And I can truly say that's exactly how it feels. Looking back and even speaking on this, it feels like a dream. It feels like that wasn't really my life, even though it was. And it felt like that I would never get out of that. And that season would never end. God brought it to an end. And there was healing. And I just began to cling to his promises that he was going to bring me through. And then going in to 2020, the end of 2020, we actually had dinner with Pastor Carter and Dr. Conlin at their house. And we were just talking, having normal conversation. And at the end of the evening, Pastor Carter just looked at us and he just said, you know, Ross and Sarah, 2021 is going to be the year Sarah gets out of that wheelchair. And he didn't say it just to say it. He said it as if he knew it. He wasn't saying we hope this or we're praying this for you. It was as if, no, you will get out of that wheelchair. And we just began to cling to that and believe to it. Nothing had changed in the natural. Nothing looked different. My health was still not great, still in a wheelchair. No treatment options available at this point. And we just really clung to that. And every time he'd see us, whether we were walking home from church or he was driving up in his Jeep, he'd roll down that window and he'd say, this is the year God's getting you out of that wheelchair. Don't forget it. He's going to do it. And it was such an encouragement to me in a dark time because it didn't feel that way. And nothing in the natural was changing in that time. And then going into 2021, we actually, out of nowhere, heard of a doctor in Brooklyn, and he actually was able to do an exam, and I was diagnosed with brainstem and spinal cord compression, which we hadn't previously been diagnosed with. It was only chronic Lyme disease, and he really understood my condition and the treatment plan for it. And going into that, that was the beginning of 2021. I did treatment with him for a couple months, and things didn't seem to get better. And then one day, it was actually Mother's Day in 2021. We were at our friend's house in Massachusetts, and I was getting ready, and I just felt an urge to try to move my legs, which I had not had in 3.5 years. I could feel my legs, but I didn't feel like I couldn't move them at all in my own strength. And so I tried. And that day I was able to slightly lift my leg up off of my wheelchair, which is the first time I'd have movement in my legs on my own in 3.5 years. And we were so happy. We were like, oh my gosh, the Lord is doing something. He's healing. And
That's about the extent that got to. So we were going into summertime and not much more has changed. I can still slightly move my legs, but at this point they're contractured and locked at a 90 degree angle. So I can't even straighten my legs out. And not much had changed. But then God met me on July 22nd, 2021 at the Heritage Home in the apartments right down the road. The Lord met me, and on a day that I was having probably the worst day I'd ever had, I had done treatment and I was feeling awful. I'd actually told the Lord when I woke up that day that I wasn't doing anything. Ross was bringing our kids to Sky Camp and I didn't have to do anything that day. I was going to lay in bed and not do anything. So Ross brings the kids to Sky Camp, and before he went into work, he just came by the house and he was like, you know, it's really nice outside. You should go outside and do your devotional and then come back in and just enjoy like the fresh air. And we're from South Louisiana, and there's no time in July that's nice outside, not even in the morning. And so I was like, okay, if it's nice, I'm going. So I got in my wheelchair and got myself outside. And thankfully, like, our apartment was wheelchair accessible, so I could move and maneuver myself around without my husband being home. And so I got into the wheelchair and I went outside and I did my devotion. And it was a beautiful day. The sky was blue. There was a cool breeze. The birds were singing. And I was just spending time with the Lord, which I needed because I was really struggling that day. And I finished my devotion. I roll back in the house. And as any mother would probably think, I rolled in and it was a mess. And I was like, I probably need to clean some of this up. And because our place was wheelchair accessible, I could kind of get around in our house and clean up on my own if I needed to. And so I got up and I rolled in and I went to the sink and I just started doing the dishes and I turned worship music on and I just started praying and just speaking to God, just about my family, my kids, just praying for them and for Ross. And I remember in that moment, just out of nowhere, something so strongly hit me, and it was just, I felt so strong in my spirit, stand up and keep praying. And immediately I began to argue with God. God, out of anybody, you know what I'm feeling. Out of anybody, you know the struggle that I'm having. You know the pain I have in my body. And you know that I haven't walked in 3.5 years on my legs and that they're locked at a 90-degree angle. You want me to do what? Like, I can't. I cannot do that, God. And the more I argued, the stronger it got. And the stronger it got, and to eventually, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to just get myself up on the counter, and I'm going to lean on the counter. And I had, my upper body strength was good, so I just, like, got myself up on the counter, and I continued to pray, like, God, you have to help my unbelief. I know this is you. I feel you. I know this is you speaking to me, but this is impossible. I cannot do this. And the more I did that, just the stronger it got. Stand up and keep praying. So eventually, I got myself over to the edge of the counter, and I told God out loud, I said, you know what? You told me to stand up and keep praying, and so I'm getting myself to the edge of this counter, and I'm going to lift my hands. And if I fall and hurt myself, it's on you. In the moment he's trying to work faith to heal me, I'm arguing with him, saying, nope, it's you, and I'm going to be here till my husband gets home at whenever he comes home to check on me to help me get back in my wheelchair. I'm just going to be stuck on the ground here. And as I lifted my hands, the Lord healed me, and he strengthened my legs. And I don't know. Thank God. I truly don't know how long that it was that I was walking around my house, just praying in the spirit, weeping and crying before I finally realized, oh my goodness, the Lord healed me and I need to call my husband. So I get to my phone and I call him and I cannot speak. All I can do is weep and cry. I cannot mutter anything out of my mouth that is audible. And he's like, Sarah, you have to tell me what's wrong. Like, did someone die? Are the kids hurt? What is the problem? You have to tell me. And the only thing I could get out was I'm walking. And so he's about not far from our house from the office. So he runs home and he stands in the doorway probably 20 minutes before we even embrace because he's in such shock. Because for 3.5 years, the only place he's seen me is laying in bed or in a wheelchair. And from that moment on, I was completely healed. From that moment on, I never touched my wheelchair again. I never had to go to therapy. The Lord completely healed my legs. Even so much of the testimony is that after being in a wheelchair for 3.5 years, my legs were not severely contractured. The doctor that I was seeing was even so amazed that my legs were the way that they were, because they should have been completely atrophied. Atrophy starts early. I mean, you're in a bed a week into months and you start atrophying. And my legs, the Lord sustained that muscle. The Lord kept things how they needed to be, because he knew that he was ultimately going to bring healing in my life. And the hardest part of all of those years was surrender. Surrendering my will to God's will, and surrendering my plans to his plans, and trusting that he was good and that he was going to be faithful to do what he said he would do. In that season, I started to see women in scripture who were also forced to trust God in hard seasons, and good came out of it. There are three women I want to speak about today, and it's Jochebed in Exodus 2, Hannah in 1 Samuel, and Mary in the book of Luke. I would like to quickly go through their stories and just explain and show how their surrender, out of their surrender came beauty in their lives. We have Jochebed. Jochebed was a slave in Egypt. And during that time, there was a decree to kill all Hebrew babies that were being born. And Jochebed defied that decree, though it could cost her everything. And she did not surrender her baby. But she did surrender him, and she surrendered him to God. She strategically placed him among the reeds in the Nile in hopes that someone from Pharaoh's house would see him and ultimately have mercy on her Hebrew son. And not only that, we see in that surrender that God not only had favor in her, that she was able to raise him, and not only that, but she was paid to do so until he was weaned and brought back to Pharaoh's house. And we also see her surrender and how motherhood would look for her. When it didn't make sense in the natural, her son being raised in Pharaoh's home would have been raised in idolatry. He would have been raised in the worship of false gods and not brought up in his godly lineage that he should have been brought up in. She had no idea that through her faith and her surrender would come the deliverer of Egypt. Through her hard surrender came Moses. And then we have Hannah. Hannah was barren. And the world she lived in was barren and sick also. She believed that if God gave her a son, that ultimately that he could be used to bring the nation back to God. And that's truly what her heart desired. She was mocked and she was misunderstood. She didn't understand her suffering, and neither did anyone else. But in God's perfect time, he was faithful to her, and Hannah was faithful to God in her promise to him. She surrendered her son, the one she had longed for, the son she had cried bitter tears over, the son she had wanted for so long because she had been barren for many, many years, and brought him to the tabernacle. And she brought him to a priest and his sons who were living ungodly. She also surrendered her son that she longed and prayed for. She surrendered her motherhood. She surrendered what she thought motherhood would look like for her, for God's plan, and through her surrender came Samuel. Samuel was a voice of God, a voice to bring the nation back to God, and he also was the first prophet. He was a prophet to anoint the first kings in Israel. And then we have Mary. Mary was a peasant girl. She had nothing going for her, and nothing was working in her favor, but one day God came to her. And he spoke to her, and he told her that she would be the one that the Savior would be born into the world through. And she thought this was crazy. How is that going to happen? I'm a lowly peasant girl. How are you going to use me to bring the Savior into the world? It didn't make sense. And Joseph doubted her, and the religious people would look down on her. Everything in the natural was working against her. But I love her words to God's promise in Luke 1:38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." In other words, "Lord, I surrender. I surrender what my plans are. I surrender how I think my life should be for your plans and purposes for my life, even though it makes no sense." Out of her surrender came our Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus, born into the world. You truly never know what your surrender is going to do and how God is going to work through it.
I want to speak to the mom and the wife and even the single women in here who are having a hard time surrendering to God in this season of your life. Surrendering can be hard. Surrendering is hard. Surrendering our life and our plans for God's plans, surrendering what we want to do for what God wants to do, surrendering our children if we're mothers, surrendering our families and our timelines to God, surrendering how we think it should look like or be like, those things are hard to surrender to God, to give it all to Him. Even in my life and through my illness, surrender was hard. Having to surrender the motherhood that I envisioned, having to surrender being the wife that I envisioned being and standing with my husband in ministry, nothing looked like I thought that it was going to look like. Everything was a total opposite of what I thought that my motherhood and my ministry and my children to my children would look like. My ministry looked like laying in bed sick when I should have been playing with my children. My ministry looked like laying in bed sick and not being able to care for myself while my husband and children were going to church every Sunday and he was having to try to prepare for his sermons and take care of the kids and do all the things while I laid in bed completely incompetent. I could do nothing. And everything looked as if it was hopeless, that there was nothing. Nothing was gonna change, that the situations wouldn't change. But God came. And He wrote something beautiful out of that surrender. The things that I had to lay down, the things that I didn't understand, the things that God, why is this happening? All these questions that I have, I had to surrender that to Him and trust that what He was doing, though it hurt, though it felt horrible, though it made me feel forsaken, that God was working something beautiful in my life and in my testimony. And I clung to that and I trusted that. And even still, I still am surrendering. Some people might not know, but I was actually bit again by a tick and have still been dealing with Lyme disease pretty bad for the past 3 years. Even surrendering this week, I wanted to say no really bad to Pastor Pavel when he asked me to speak because I was extremely nervous. For one reason, just one of the main reasons was because I deal with debilitating brain fog. And though I know my story and I know my testimony and I know these things, when you are dealing with that, it feels like your brain is completely empty. It feels like you don't have words to say. It feels like you don't know what you're gonna get up and say. And it was really scary to me. But I surrendered to God because I knew that He wanted me to share this. I knew that someone in here needs to hear that He is good and faithful in your story. Rather you're crippled physically or you're crippled spiritually, you can stand up and walk in faith and surrender to Him. He is faithful and He is good and He loves you. There is nothing you could do to separate yourself from Him. He loves you and He wants to pour His love on you. He wants to show you His faithfulness. And if He did it in my life, I know that He could do it in yours. So we need to recognize, like these women did, that we can trust God. We can trust Him in our surrender. We can trust Him with our surrendered families and as mothers or single women, whatever area we are in our life. We can trust Him because He is the author of our stories. He is writing them and He will be sovereign over it. And that's gonna look different for everybody. It's not gonna look the same. He's writing a different story in your life that He's writing in your neighbor's life or your mom's life or your friend's life. He's writing a different story, but nothing is ever wasted that we place in His hand. So I just wanna invite you, if you are having a hard time surrendering in whatever area of life it is, to just lay it down before Him, and He will bring beauty out of it. No, I just thank You, God. I thank You that You do take things that make no sense, the hard things, the painful things, the testimonies that You're working in our life, and You bring beauty out of them. Lord, I thank You that no one is unseen wherever we're at. Lord, You see us, and You are so faithful to meet us where we are and bring a testimony out of our life. I thank You for what You've done in my life, and I'm thankful that You will continue to be faithful. As each day, Lord, I surrender what you're asking me to surrender and what You're asking me to lay down. You will be faithful to meet me in that time, and You will be faithful to meet Your people. I just thank You, and I just bring You all the glory. In Jesus' name.